الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send his salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back brothers. It feels good to be resuming the Quran classes after, subhanAllah, a long absence. We will not elaborate on that while we're recording. But the good news is that we have a brother who has referenced our last ayah, and that would be ayah 72 of Surah Al-An'am. So we will initiate the dars with ayah 73 of Surah Al-An'am. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق ويوم يقول كن فيكون قوله الحق وله الملك يوم ينفخ في الصور عالم الغيب والشهادة وهو الحكيم الخبير. And it is he who created the heavens and earth in truth, and the day he says be, and it is, his word is the truth, and his is the dominion on the day the horn is blown. He is knower of the unseen and the witnessed, and he is the wise, the acquainted. The Shaykh rahmahullah says in the tafsir of this ayah, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ لِيَأْمُرَ الْعِبَادِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ وَيُثِيبَهُمْ وَيُعَاقِبَهُمْ. That Allah Azza wa Jal created the heavens and the earth in truth in order to command the slaves and in order to forbid them, meaning command them to do things, forbid them from doing other things, and in order to reward them and punish them. That's the reason why. وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُكُمْ فَيَكُونَ قَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي لَا مِرْيَةَ فِيهِ وَلَا مَثْنَوِيَّةَ وَلَا يَقُولُ شَيْئًا عَبَثًا. There is no doubt in regards to the statements of Allah. Right? You don't doubt anything that Allah Azza wa Jal said, even though this is a very common trend among Muslims today. The youth specifically. You know, I receive all types of wild messages on WhatsApp and other sources and other means of communication with people really doubting aspects of the deen that are not open for doubt. And it's all because of some discussion they had with a philosopher or some sort of atheist. And the funny thing is that it often starts that they're trying to give da'wah to an atheist, and then the atheist gives da'wah to them. And then they're confused. And then they want you to give answers now, you know. I don't understand this, how come this, how come that. Things which, as a Muslim, you don't second guess. You know what I'm saying? Once you've, it's almost like you put your hand in the fire. It burnt. Do you really have to check every week that the fire still burns? Let me just check one more time. Khalas, man. You found Iman. You know La ilaha illallah. Do you have to expose yourself to all types of fitan and doubts so you can check again that you know the La ilaha illallah? Khalas, this is something that is already sealed, it's done. You don't open that door. You don't doubt anything which is not open for doubt, because that has been removed already. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There's no doubt in it. So only if one willingly opens themselves to this doubt, they will lead themselves astray. Otherwise, khalas. You can't possibly go and worship an idol after you worshipped Allah in the masjid. Really? Like you didn't know? Like you don't know that worshipping idols is shirk and will lead you to Jahannam? Oh really? You cannot become an atheist and disbelieve in the existence of God after you were praying to Him. I mean, what is wrong with the people? But that's what it is. Sometimes giving da'wah is not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Al-Muhim. وَلَا يَقُولُ شَيْئًا عَبَثًا. Allah does not say anything in vain, out of play. Nothing is said out of play just for the sake of it. There's an objective and a purpose and a wisdom behind everything that Allah says. وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ بِالصُّورِ أَيَّوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ أَوْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خَصَّهُ بِالذِّكْرِ مَعَ أَنَّهُ مَالِكُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لِأَنَّهُ تَنْقَطِعُ فِيهِ الْأَمْلَاكُ فَلَا يَبْقَى مُلْكٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ فَلَا يَبْقَى مَلِكٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارُ. Why did Allah Azza wa Jalla mention يوم القيامة? Says, and to Him belongs the dominion on the day in which the horn is blown. Allah specifically mentioned that the dominion is His on Yawm al-Qiyamah, even though everything is His. Everything belongs to Allah. But on that day, any type of ownership that anyone has will be lost. Yani the one who had 10 villas and 20 cars and what have you, does he come with this real estate on Yawm al-Qiyamah with his entourage with other people? No, nothing. The one who owned an island in some country, nothing. The people who owned everything and who didn't own anything would be standing together naked, waiting for the judgment to begin. There's absolutely no differentiation between them. So on that day, even though there are people with their own dominions and their own property, the only one which will be visible is Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah's dominion, it would be dominant. Everybody else's dominion would be gone. And nothing will remain, no king will remain except Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one, the irresistible. عالم الغيب والشهادة وهو الحكيم الخبير. Important to know the names and attributes of Allah. عالم, what is عالم يا شيخ? Mr. Red Watch. عالم, what is عالم? We hear it all the time. Okay, that's one definition. Scientist is, if it's used in the secular context. Now, if it's used in an Islamic context, it's a scholar. Alim is a scholar, right? Ulama is many scholars. And of course the word is ulama, not ulima, as many people type it, mashallah. Then you have allama, which is the hyperbole, the exaggerated form of it, meaning a lot of ilm, not just alim, he's allama, he's like out there, right? He's, huh? He's beyond the standard. And then here you have the alim, which is also a description, an adjective of the one who knows something, the knower. Alim al-shay, he is knowing, he knows of it, he's aware of it. So it could be a title, alim, a scholar, or it could be just a mere like a ma'loom type of thing. Okay? He knows it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is alim al-ghayb wa shahada, he is the knower of the ghayb. مَغَابَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, that which is hidden, that which is sealed, concealed from the people. وَالشَّهَادَ, that which is witnessed. And it's an interesting antonyms. الْغَيْبُ وَالشَّهَادَ, that which is غَابَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَهَذَا مَا شَهِدَهُ النَّاسِ, what the people cannot see and what the people can see. It's a very comprehensive term, by the way. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ وَالْخَبِيرُ. What is Hakim? Aywa, Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, right? Al-Khabir, come on guys, cannot be so sleepy Friday morning. I'm the one who slept at 3 in the morning, not you.
Expert?
Huh? Yes. They usually translate it as the well-acquainted, right? Yes, he is the expert actually, but you know, some translators avoid using that term for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so they say the well-acquainted is more suitable. Anyways, there's no issue. Hey. الَّذِي لَهُ الْحِكْمَةُ التَّامَةُ, to whom belongs the ultimate wisdom. وَالنِّعْمَةُ السَّابِغَةُ, and then from him is the ultimate bounty. Encompassing bounty. وَالْإِحْسَانُ الْعَظِيمُ, and the greatness, the vast greatness from Allah. وَالْعِلْمُ الْمُحِيطُ بِالسَّرَائِرِ وَالْبَوَاطِنِ وَالْخَفَايَا, and the knowledge which encompasses the secrets and the internals and the hidden. Anything which is away from the people is known to Allah. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَلَا رَبٌّ سِوَى, there's none worthy of worship except Him, and there's no Lord except Him. Hey. So this is Ayah 73. Alright, Ayah 74. Oh, we're going to get into the hot stuff. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ آزَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَا إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And mention when Abraham said to his father Azar, do you take idols as deities? Indeed, I see you and your people to be in manifest error. Now we will elaborate on this a little bit. when after I finish the translation or the interpretation of the Shaykh, يقول تعالى واذكر قصة إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام. Mention the story of Ibrahim. مثنيا عليه ومعظما في حال دعوته للتوحيد. Praising him and glorifying his condition, his status in da'wah to tawheed. ونهي عن الشرك, and his forbidding of associating partners with Allah. Shirk, polytheism. إذ قال وإذ قال لأبيه آزر أتتخذ أصناما آلهة أي لا تنفع ولا تضر وليس لها من الأمر شيء. His purpose or his objection and his observation was that these idols do not benefit, nor do they harm, nor do they have any involvement in any affair. And really that is very core and basic. Any type of object of worship that the human beings have rectified amongst themselves from any type of object, any type of material, is dependent on them. A little 2-year-old kid can comprehend that. If I made this cup, I made it. Who's superior? Me or the cup? Huh? The one who made it. Can I possibly at any point think this cup can help me, protect me from my enemy? If somebody's going to come and kill me, say, listen, please, help. Some people are crazy, huh? Help me out. Don't let them get. Habibi, you made it. It was nothing. You brought it into existence. How in the world is it going to do anything for you now? How? So human beings are strange, man. They create their own stuff and then they want these things to protect them and help them. Or if they don't create them, like the Hindus or a video I saw so many years ago, I will never forget that. You know, I need to find that video again. Of some British Hindus who were worshipping a cow. And then it reached the police that the cow had some sort of disease. And if they left it amongst other cows, it's contagious, the disease is contagious, it will harm other cows, it will harm human beings. So the police decided to come and take away the cow, to kill it. And they have this huge scene, and all these Hindus gathered, and they were trying to bid farewell, crying, huh, to the cow, and trying to get that last moment of worship before the police drive the cow away while it's going. Aah. And he watched this video, was like, dude, if this cow was a god, and as soon as the police came, bam, it would knock out the police. It will fly and say, I am God, you know. You can't touch me, I'm the cow. Anything of the sort. The cow can't even help itself from the police taking it and chopping off its neck, for God's sake. And these people crying, man. They're sincerely crying. And these are educated people, probably PhD, doctors, blah, 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 all these titles. Yet when it comes to this, they're the stupidest people on earth. Worshipping a cow. And the police took it away. I have to find this video. I'll send it to you on the group, inshallah. It's comedy, man. We look at it and say, subhanAllah, it's clear like the sun. And these people are serious. So that tells you something about the intelligence of humankind. MashaAllah. Not all of them, of course. Muslims are smart, alhamdulillah. Aywa. Inni araka wa qawmaka fi dalal mubeen. I verily see you and your people in manifest error. حيث عبدتم من لا يستحق من العبادة شيئا. You worshiping that which deserves absolutely no worship. These idols deserve no worship whatsoever, nothing, no veneration whatsoever. وتركتم عبادة خالقكم ورازقكم ومدبركم. And on the flip, on the other hand, not only you've worshipped the one who doesn't deserve worship, you've also abandoned the worship of your creator, your sustainer, and the one who arranges your affairs. Now here's the point I wanted to raise. Do you gentlemen think that this is an appropriate way to give da'wah? general statement. Ibrahim said to his father, "Do you, what was it? You're taking these idols as aliyah? Verily, I see you and you people clearly astray. Can you do that?" Okay. Can we take one ayah, for example, wherein the speech is of this nature, without knowing the context, and deduce that it is permissible for every person who has a parent who's non-Muslim, that he goes to him and he tells him, for example, if he's a Christian, "Do you worship Jesus? Huh? Are you worshiping Jesus? As you think, have you taken Jesus as God? Really, you and my mother are in clear air." Is this an open license for someone to use this method of da'wah? No. No. Because when we understand the da'wah of the prophets, huh, we have to understand the whole message of the Quran. We have ayat in Surah Maryam, wherein Ibrahim was saying to his father, what? Ya Abati, my dear father, don't worship the shaitan. My dear father, I fear for you. My dear father, Allah has given me that which He has not given you. So we see that there was a different approach from Ibrahim alayhi salam. That means we take things into consideration, the context into consideration. The tone of his speech is something that we don't know. Also, the relationship he had with his father is something that we don't know. The culture back then, the culture, the way people communicated with each other, is not necessarily known to us. So many things have to be taken into consideration. You cannot take one ayah from the Quran and say, "He said it this way, I'm going to say it this way, and this is the da'wah of Ibrahim," as some modern contemporary speakers have done. Because we have Nuh. If you read the ayah in Surah Nuh, we have two ayahs in Surah Nuh. Let's say someone only reads the end of it, or he reads one surah, he doesn't read the other. What did he say? What did he say at the end? وَقَالَ نُوحَ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. Oh Allah, do not leave upon this earth a single kafir. A single kafir. Does that mean that when you give da'wah, you go out and scream among the kuffar, "Oh Allah, don't leave a single non-Muslim in this area. Get them all out of this neighborhood. We're sick and tired of them." Say, "Well, Nuh did it." Say, "No, time out. Go back to the beginning of the surah. Huh? قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. I've called my people night and day. فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُ. Now you have to understand, there's a different message now. There were times when Nuh was in that position where he begged Allah Azza wa Jal, "Inni maghlubun fantasir." I'm overcome, I've been overcome, so aid me, come to my aid, to my victory, to my assistance. And there were times when he was negotiating with his people and going back and forth and giving them nasiha. So all of these, the da'i also goes through phases. The prophets, they go through phases in their da'wah. We don't, and we cannot get one ayah and from that ayah assume that this is the way of doing da'wah, and I'm making the way of, this is the way of the prophets. That is incorrect. Even though in some context, this may be the way. If you have this type of relationship with your father, there's a particular bond, or it's a situation where it's a hopeless case, huh? And you want to establish the proof again. I mean, you're trying to be nice for the longest time, he doesn't open the door. And it's about you making sure you've delivered the message before you meet Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and you have to say this way, you might have to. "Baba, your religion is false. Sorry, flat out. Islam is the only religion Allah will accept from you. These idols you worship will not benefit you, my father." It's fine. But that's not how you always do it. You don't begin this because your father may very much say, "Excuse me, who are you? I'm your father. I taught you. I spent on you. I will open all types of eyes for you." Huh? None of them will be an iPhone, inshallah. And then he will say, "Now you come in to educate me. You want to teach me about life. You want to..." He will not. Many fathers will arrogantly reject any advice from their children simply because they're the children. They will not take the nasiha. It is the way. It's the way how many people function. So then the child has to modify his speech to make it agreeable to the father. If this is not the way with the father, then don't use this way. Some fathers don't mind being corrected. So you speak to him in this manner, without being rude and disrespectful, of course. Anyways, that's off the topic, but again, the reason why we have these classes, anyone can technically do this, not anyone, but many can do this. We try to bring the da'wah relationship between the ayat and the da'wah. That's the benefit behind it. طيب, المهم, ayah 76, I believe. 75. وكذلك نري إبراهيم ملكوت السماوات والأرض وليكون من الموقنين. And thus did we show Abraham the realm of the heavens and the earth, that he would be among the certain in faith. وكذلك حين وفقناه للتوحيد والدعوة إليه نري إبراهيم ملكوت السماوات والأرض. Such, meaning after we've given him success, granted him success in following Tawheed and inviting people to it, we show him the realms of the heavens and the earth. أي ليرى ببصيرته ما اشتملت عليه من الأدلة القاطعة والبراهين الساطعة. So that he can see now with his insight, with his vision, not necessarily the physical vision, but with the intellect and understanding, he can see the irrefutable evidences and the proofs of the strength of Tawheed and the falsehood of shirk. وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. And so he may be among those who are certain in faith. فَإِنَّهُ بِحَسَبِ قِيَامِ الْأَدِلَّةِ يَحْصَلْ لَهُ الْإِقَانُ وَالْعِلْمِ التَّامِ بِجَمِيعِ الْمَطَالِبِ. So the more evidence you have, the closer you reach certainty. Right? If some of you are in school and in the English literature, sometimes you're asked to write an essay or a bunch of paragraphs, a few paragraphs on some topic, right? And then you have the main topic and then you have the supporting evidences. So you mention in the introduction what is it that, you know, certain things that you want to speak about, and then you have the main things that you use, then you have supporting evidence. The more supporting evidence you use, the more you strengthen your story. Otherwise it will become weak. So, you know, you might believe in something. If somebody wants to sell you a product, Welcome salam, no way, Jose. It's okay, no problem, welcome back. No way meaning I haven't seen you in a while, not no way you're late. But now that you mentioned it, no way you're late. If someone wants to sell you a product, okay, they can first sell you off the look. Okay? Say, this is your favorite color. So you're already sold. But then it tells you, and it has this patch. And it has zipper. The more you get, now you already sold from the beginning. Are you ready to go? You have certainty that this is the type of bag that you want. The more they explain, the more you're convinced about it. So more evidences will help you reach that level of certainty and make a decision. When you go buy a phone, same thing. You might go to buy a phone for one function, one feature that you think is comfortable to. It's comfortable, convenient for you. But then the floor salesman, the promoter, starts showing you other things. Oh, by the way, you can do this, you can do that. Oh, okay, this is better than what I thought. So now the chance of you buying the phone is higher. The chances are higher than before. So Ibrahim had Iman. Ibrahim had Iman. In fact, had the strongest type of Iman. Still, Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to strengthen. He wanted him to reach the certainty in faith. So he showed the malakut samawat wal ard. In another ayah, huh? Ibrahim, what did he ask Allah Azza wa Jal? Arini kayfa tuhyil mawta. Show me how you bring life to the dead. What did Allah say? Qal awalam tu'min? Have you not believed already? Qal bala walakin liyatma'inna qalbi. Yes, I want to reach that certainty. I want to reach that certainty. So Allah told them to bring some birds and, you know, chop them apart and then put them in different mountains, call them, they will come to you, so on and so forth. This is to reach the certainty, the level of certainty. And certainty is where you put your feet in cold water, as they say. Khalas. You relax. Ihsan is in the ibadah. But here you have 100, you're 200% sure that this is the true religion of Allah. Period. Yaqeen. Period. Khalas. There's no room for any other discussion. I might fall into sin. I might, you know, do this. I might do all types of stupid stuff because of my weaknesses. Okay. Human being error. But in terms of my belief, no. This is not negotiable anymore. This is not someone that I want to give you an invitation to a new religion. Wallah, let me hear what you have to say. Because when you were maybe a Christian, you didn't care. If a Buddhist wanted to give you da'wah, Allah, we'll hear him out. And a Hindu will hear him out. You have nothing to worry about because you don't have that attachment to the truth. You're attached to your religion because you were born upon it. Born into it. Not because you believed in it sincerely. But you cannot have this attitude as a Muslim. So if someone tries to give me da'wah to any other religion, the door is closed. And 99% of Muslims should reject this invitation. No, thank you very much. Enjoy, I'm happy where I am. Some people who are qualified will say, okay, come, let me hear what you have to say to reverse the da'wah. Only. Not out of curiosity, to reverse the da'wah. But if someone doesn't have these means, don't listen. Don't listen. People will yap, talk, all types of stuff. Huh? You sit with the Shi'i, he'll drive you crazy. He'll bring you this evidence that you don't know. Tell you reading in Bukhari. In Bukhari, and you're like, oh, Bukhari, oof. That one evidence, huh? And you're gone. You're full of doubt. Then you urgent as soon as you wait, call some da'i I know. Brother, help me out, please. This Shi'i told me hadith in Bukhari, hadith number 3312. It says, is this true? I don't know what to do because I doubt. Yeah, Shaykh, ishfi. And what were you doing with the Shi'i to begin with? Now, these people are the biggest liars on the planet. The biggest liars on the planet are these people. No Bukhari, no Muslim, nothing. The hadith is from his grandmother anyways. He tells you it's in Bukhari. And secondly, let's say the hadith is hypothetically in Bukhari. Is your deen going to be shaken by one evidence that you don't know the context of it, who narrated it, what the scholars have to say about it? Nothing. Alatul, you shake up? Because not everyone is qualified. Or because these people have not reached yaqeen. If you reach yaqeen, inshallah, a million Shia will come across. Try to prove to me that the Sahaba were bad. Like, really? Am I suddenly going to believe the Sahaba were bad people who betrayed the Prophet ﷺ, and they apostatized from Islam and they left Islam and Abu Bakr is evil and Umar is evil and Uthman is... Really? Come on, how could you ever become a Shia unless you're the stupidest man on earth? What? How? No way! But these people never reach certainty. So they're always open. They're open for new ideas, new ideologies, new methodologies, new aqidah, anything that comes their way, they're open. Open arms. We say, when you reach certainty, it's done. That's why it's important. Knowledge is more important than worship. You can be a good worshipper. The shaitan will be after you until you die. The shaitan does not despair from the worshipper, that he will lead him astray. But he despairs from the alim. The alim has no solution, man. This guy knows what's up. Every time he tries to misguide him, the alim knows what's up. So ilm, knowledge is way more superior than... Now some of the scholars say, yani, it's like the Prophet ﷺ versus, and as in the, some of the ahadith mentioned, the superiority of the knowledgeable person, the alim, versus the worshipper, is like the superiority of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the last one in this ummah. Huge gap. So, busy yourself in worship, sure. But more importantly, busy yourself in learning this deen. Because with the yaqeen, you're untouchable, inshaAllah ta'ala. Tayyib. Here we're going to see how Allah Azza wa Jal showed him the malakut. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قال هذا ربي فلما أفل قال لا أحب الآفلين. So when the night covered him with darkness, he saw a star, not like a Hollywood star, because nowadays they call these burnt out charcoals, they call them stars, and they have nothing to do with stars, they're burnt out. He said, this is my Lord. But when it set, it was gone. He said, I like not those that disappear. I like not those that disappear. Now, what's the interesting word in this ayah? In this first sentence, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ. What is the interesting word here? Jannah. What is this Jannah here? What is the difference between Jannah and Jannah? and jinn and junoon and so on and so forth. Aywa. Where is the Arabic, Ya Abdul Majid?
That is something which can be seen now.
Hmm?
Which is hidden.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
The reason why they call jinn? Because, and the reason why there's Jinan and Jannah. Jannah is like lush gardens, so much that it covers. So much green that it covers. And the jinn, the word jinn deduced from this meaning because they're like covered, you can't see them. Huh? They're from the things which are unseen. And then they say Majnoon, huh? Crazy because his brain has been covered by something else. So his brain doesn't work, right? He's Majnoon, he's crazy, he's insane. And then you have here Jannah, the verb. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ. Here is to cover. When the night covered him with darkness. And that's why the difference, Jannah, the garden, ends with the ta marbuta. There's a ta, as we say Jannah. You're supposed to say Jannah. Because the ta becomes a ha, if you recite in the Quran. This is Jannah. It ends with a noon and a shadda. Right? Like ghanna here with an alif, that's another one. Mashihal. We don't want to confuse you more. Al-Muhan. Ay azlama, anyways, when the night became, when it became dark, ra'a kawkaban la'allahu min al-kawakib al-mudhi'a li'anna takhsisahu bil-dhikr yadullu ala ziyadatihi an ghayri. Perhaps it's one of the, yani, here what they mean by stars, like, you know, the planets type of thing. Wallahu a'lam. A kawkab here is like a star or a planet. But anyways, he saw, whatever he saw, must be something that is unique. Because it was illuminating, the illumination was stronger than other stars. You know, there are some stars that are known by the people who know about these things. They can identify the star that has, you know, more light. There's more light. So he saw something that is distinguishable, not just a random star. He saw a star, the Shaykh said, probably because it was different than the other ones. Some of them say it's Zahra, Jupiter. Some say it was Jupiter. So I told you it's not a star, it's a planet. But do they call them stars? Anyways, whatever. قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي أَيْ عَلَى وَجْهِ التَّنَزُّمْ عَلَى الْخَصْمِ أَيْ هَذَا رَبِّي فَهَذَا مَنَنْظُرْ هَلْ يَسْتَحَقُ رُبُوبِيَّةِ. So the scholars now differ on Ibrahim's approach. What was Ibrahim trying to do? The popular opinion, as the Shaykh mentioned, is that he was trying to go down to the level of the people he's giving da'wah to. Yani he's going down to the level in order to prove from their perspective the falsehood thereupon. So Ibn Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah would study philosophy and ilm al-kalam and the speech of the philosophers, even though he was the most staunch, adamant Shaykh against it. But he would learn it so that he will expose their deviance. And when he argues, debates with them, he has knowledge of their science more so than they know their own science. So this is an example of da'wah where you learn or you go down to the level of the competition. Huh? Some of them say that means that you may be familiar with certain biblical verses if you're giving da'wah to Christians, to prove to them that from your own Bible, you have evidence that Jesus was not God and that Allah is the only one worthy of worship. That's from your own Bible. With the problems, with the contradictions, with the revisions, with the different versions, with all the disasters you have, still, I can prove to you from your own references that you have contradiction in your Bible. We don't know whether Jesus should be worshipped or he shouldn't, according to your Bible. We know according to the Quran exactly who should be worshipped and who shouldn't be worshipped. That's the difference between our scripture and yours. We have clear-cut, unambiguous message. You have the most confusing message in the world. Choose. We have one version, you have Allah knows how many versions. Choose. Yours has been revised, ours has never been revised. Choose. Done. Choice is made. Al-Muhim. So he's trying to go down to the level. Let's see, do they deserve worship? وَهَلْ يَقُبُّ لَنَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Do we have an evidence to support that this star, this Jupiter, is worthy of worship? فأنه لا ينبغي لعاقل أن يتخذ إله هواه. No sound person should take his own desires as his God. If you're sound, if you're intellectually sound, do you say, oh Allah, this air conditioned, me and me, this is the new God. Gentlemen, this is the new God. Alas, I'm smart, I have a feeling, this is excellent. No, 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 forget it. This door is this door. Because look, it's closed, no one can open it. See, if I said this or anyone said this, you say, khalas, and call the police and this guy should be, you know, handcuffed very soon. Because it's crazy. So, only an insane person will say, this is God. So he's trying to reason with them. Okay, you've decided, you take this idol. He's trying to reason with them. He's showing them their lack of logic. Huh? The lack of logic. You crazy people, if you think I'm strange for saying this is my God, then what about you? What about you? You made this idol, then you say this is my God. At least I'm referring to something that I didn't create, right? Something that is powerful, something that is illuminating, yet it will disappear. At some point, the star will no longer shine. It will be the day. I cannot no longer see it. How can this be my God when I have no access to it all the time? Even though when we compare this to Allah Azza wa Jal, we don't need to have a physical image of Allah. But this is according to their logic. Their logic is they want to see the God. Huh? They want to see the God. If this which is greater than your idol is not worthy of worship, then what about your statue which you made? What about that? You see how he was trying to reason with them, alayhi salatu wasalam? فَلَمَّا أَفَلَا إِغَابَ ذَلِكَ كَوْكَبْقَالَ أَنِّي لَا قَالَ لَا أَحِبُّ الْأَفِلِينَ. I don't like that which goes away. أي الَّذِي يَغِيبُ يَخْتَفِي عَمَّنْ عَبَدَ. The one who disappears and vanishes from the one who is worshipping it. فَأَنَّ الْمَعْبُودَ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ قَائِمًا بِمَصَالِحِ مَنْ عَبَدَ. The one who's being worshipped must be able to maintain the affairs of the one who's worshipping him around the clock. ومدبر له في جميع شؤونه, and he should be arranging all of his affairs. فأما الذي يمضي وقت كثير وهو غائب. As for the object of worship which is absent most of the time, فمن أين يستحق العبادة. How are you going to worship it when this thing is not even available for you? It's not even available for you. وهل اتخاذه إلها إلا من أسفه السفه. Then is taking it a God anything more than the, you know, the biggest of form of being silly and being unintelligent and being, you know, stupid? That's what safaha is, you know, it's a form of being an idiot. وَأَبْتَلُ الْبَاطِلِ, and the biggest type of falsehood. And the biggest type of falsehood. That Ibrahim will continue. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قال هذا ربي فلما أفل قال لئن لم يهدني ربي لأكونن من القوم الضالين. And when he saw the moon rising, he said, this is my Lord. But when it set, he said, unless my Lord guides me, I will surely be among the people gone astray. The Sheikh said, فلما رأى القمر بازغا أي طالعا رأى زيادته على نور الكواكب ومخالفته لها. When the moon started to shine, the moon is superior to other planets, right? You can clearly see it. Stronger light, bigger, mashallah. I mean, the moon stands out. So now logically, now this should be my Lord. Not the previous one. This is better, right? Then he said that if my, when the moon went away, obviously, sunrise, moon is gone. He said, if my Lord doesn't guide me, then verily I'll be among those who are astray. فَافْتَكَرَ غَايَةَ الْإِفْتِقَارِ لِهِدَايَةِ رَبِّهِ. So then he showed his extreme need and poverty for Allah's guidance. That's how he's trying to give him da'wah. I need Allah to guide me. I need my Creator to guide me, because this could be very confusing. وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ إِن لَمْ يَهْدِ إِلَّهَ فَلَا هَدِيَ لَهُ. And he knew that if Allah doesn't guide him, no one can guide him. وَإِن لَمْ يَعَنْهُ عَلَى طَعَاتِهِ فَلَا مُعْنَى. And if Allah doesn't aid someone in worshipping him, then no one will be able to do so. فلما راى الشمس بازغه قال هذا ربي هذا اكبر. When he saw the sun, rising, he said, this is my Lord, this is greater. I mean, the sun is bigger than all except Allah Azza wa Jalla, of course. I mean versus other planets. But when it set, he said, oh my people, indeed I am free from what you associate with Allah. فلما افل قال يا قوم اني بريء مما تشركون. So when he saw that the sun was greater than the other planet and than the moon, he said, this is my Lord. Then when it went away, he then knew for fact, and he was trying to teach them, that there's no way that there will be any guidance if Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't guide me. Therefore, I am clear, I am innocent of all that which you associate with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he established the evidence against them, meaning, look at these objects of worship, which if we were to select, he's trying to show them this kind of selectiveness in their attitude. This is my God, or this idol, or this statue. Okay, I'm going to follow the same madhab. This planet, nor this the moon, nor the sun, and I'm going to continue to accept and reject and make gods on my own. With what evidence? What evidence do I have that it's not the planets, the moon, it's not the moon, it's the sun? You have no evidence. No, it's just all in your brain. And you people taking these idols as gods, it's all in your brain. Allah didn't reveal any of that. The same way Allah didn't reveal that the sun and the moon. So who's the ultimate one who can guide me to His worship? Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything that you and I are doing, He's telling them, is wrong. My actions, trying to find my God this way, is not correct. Just like your actions in finding your God are incorrect. Did you understand the wisdom behind this approach? It's very smart and very simplified for us people. If you reflect on it, you will see the correlation between the two. طيب. Then ayah 79. إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا وما أنا من المشركين. Indeed, I have turned my face toward He who created the heavens and the earth, inclining toward truth, and I am not of those who associate others with Allah. أي لله وحده مقبلا عليه معرضا على عمن سواه. Meaning, I've turned my face towards Allah, seeking Him alone, turning away from everything besides Him. That's Hanifa. وما أنا من المشركين فتبرأ من الشرك. I am free from polytheism and setting up rivals and partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. وأذعن بالتوحيد. And He proclaimed the oneness in monotheism. وأقام على ذلك البرهان. And He established the evidence and the proof upon that. وهذا الذي ذكرناه في تفسير الآيات هو الصواب. The Shaykh said, this interpretation of ours is the right one. وهو أن المقام مقام مناظرة. And that the context was one of debate. من إبراهيم لقومه وبيان بطلان إلهية هذه الأجرام العلوية وغيرها. وأما من قال إنه مقام نظر بحال طفولته فليس فيه دليل. The Shaykh is refuting some مفسرين who said that this was Ibrahim was genuinely confused, but it was at a young age. Some say this whole thing that Ibrahim was saying, this is my God, if Allah doesn't... They said, they understood from it that this was Ibrahim, who was still trying to find Allah Azza wa Jal at a young age. The Shaykh said, no, there's no evidence for that. That this is when he was young. This is, the context is what he explained, debate. And when you're debating, you want to stoop down to the level of the one you're debating with, so you can be on the same page, only to deliver the message. Only to deliver. And you do this all the time. You do this in everything in life. In fact, when you go to the Bagala, when you go to the Bagala, or when you go to a place where you're forced to speak English, even though you prefer to speak another language, do you not modify your speech according to the one you're with, so you can have the communication efficient? Yes. Or an Arab, when he goes to the Bagala, he is forced to speak the broken Arabic. So, Jeep Keys. What is Jeep Keys? I mean, this is not even Arabic. You know, this is such a... It's like, as if you're saying, bag bring, bag give. It's bag give, ya akhi. Give me a bag. Can I have a bag, please? May I have a bag? I mean, you have all these fancy English expressions to ask for a bag. None of them is bring bag. Bag give. This is what the broken Arabic sounds like, by the way. Ana ma fi ma'loom, anta bukra iji. It's worse than that, actually. I cannot even begin to explain to you how bad this thing sounds. When I first came to this country, my hair almost fell. You know, I was getting the taxi, trying to get to the location. I had no idea what's going on. I have no idea what the guy's saying. You know? They're just trying to... And he doesn't even know the way to the place. I'm telling him, I want to go to this house in my school. He says, Tariq ma fi ma'loom. Like, what? You're the taxi, man. I'm the customer. How am I supposed to tell you how to get to the place? I myself don't know how to get to the place. I had to memorize the way, and every time I find a taxi, I have to tell him, Sida, Yasar, Yameen, Atla, Abdi. It took a while for, you know, to adjust, but in my mind, something was terribly wrong. Something was terribly wrong. The taxi doesn't know the way, you have to tell him how to get to the place. maybe things have changed now. And it's broken Arabic, man. It's this horrible broken Arabic. That's why, you know, we need to get over this hump. For you brothers, learn the proper language. This broken Arabic is no bueno. It's no good, no good. I know it does the job, it helps you get by, but don't use it as, don't go back home and say, I speak Arabic. Because I've met many people say, well, I speak Arabic. And he goes, well, this is not Arabic. This is a failed attempt at speaking like 1% of Arabic. But anyways, not a problem. It does the job. I'm sorry, I have to clown on this one. But how did we get to this broken Arabic? Now, so anyways, you have. And I'm not going to go there and get philosophical on the guy in the bagara say, لو سمحت هلا أعطيتني كيسا من البلاستيك. خلاص يا شيخ لازم جيب كيس وخلص. Why? I go down to that level so we can be efficient. You do this all the time. So Ibrahim, okay, you people are taking idols. This is your way. How am I going to explain to them la ilaha illallah? How am I going to explain to them the fallacy in taking these idols? Okay, let me use their manhaj. Your manhaj, you made this? Okay, I'm going to do the same thing. This is my God. No, it's gone. This is bigger. This is my God. He showed them how feeble-minded they are. How the basis upon which they base their worship is so silly. This is bigger. This one disappears. This one doesn't disappear. That's not how you judge who your Lord is. That is not how you judge who your Lord is. So it's a genius, actually. It's a genius da'wah for Ibrahim. And many people who don't look and read between the lines, they look at it and say, what kind of da'wah is this? Huh? Because they don't understand. See, this is, come on, who does this? It's because you haven't thought about it. You haven't understood his approach. Otherwise, this is genius on his part. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Muhim, I think we should conclude, inshallah, with this beautiful ayah. Yeah. So, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we finished ayah number 79, Sahih Abdul Majid. So, bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jalla, if you all remain alive and healthy, inshallah ta'ala, we will resume next week or continue next week with ayah number 80. Which is also going to be very interesting. Let's bookmark this thing here. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.